Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real People, Real Coffee. This is Blake Zanti, and I am with my co-host, Connor Myers. And today, we are with one of my very good friends, the amazing, the awesome Demi Wack. How's it going, Demi?
I'm good after that intro. I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, thank you.
That's pretty good. Oh, it's not Real People, Real Coffee. It's RPRC, as Demi calls it, or as my wife just called it, since it's 6 p.m. If any of us drinks a coffee now, we're not going to sleep. So today, it is Real People, Real Claws. We're drinking White Claws, ladies and gentlemen. Real I got people, watermelon, Blake's rocking the lemon.
Mango.
And mango. Well, Demi, thank you for coming on. You've been someone that we've known for a long time, especially Blake. You and I have been acquaintances, but you and Blake have been friends for a long time. So I really appreciate you coming on. Tell us about who the heck you are.
Well, first, thank you. It's a real honor to speak to, what is it, 2 million followers?
2 million. We're getting ripped on our own podcast.
2 million minus 1,900,000.
No, it's really special. And I'm just really impressed with both of you. I mean, it's been great getting to listen to this and also getting to see Blake. Like you said, I've known him for a long time now, and he's been a big mentor for me.
Yeah.
So
if it sucks, tell us. We'll just quit.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, well, if I'm bad, you'll just know it's because Blake did a bad job.
Yes. Yes, like us. We'll just do it ourselves. Get Blake out of here.
Yeah.
It's always my fault.
So who am I? Let's see. I am a recent college graduate. I just graduated from Fresno State. I majored in psychology and criminology, did my certificate of legal studies, and was planning on doing law school for a while. And then kind of fell in love with policy. And now I'm going to grad school for that, which should be really exciting. I currently work for the state government. I work for California Volunteers. It's been a really good gig so far and working on the response to COVID. Other than that, I'm one daughter out of six brothers.
Whoa. That's brutal. Holy cow.
I mean, it was great. It was a really cool childhood.
Are you the youngest? Oldest, middle.
I'm like right in the middle.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So it's been I guess that's who I am, a little picture of myself. Other than that, a friend.
Yeah.
There you go.
You need a friend. Demi's here.
Demi's here to be a friend. That's awesome. And not to obviously you're a very humble person. This has to be told. You're going to grad school across the pond.
Just right across the pond in Fresno.
Woodward Park.
You're going to Woodward. Woodward Lakes.
Yeah.
Woodward Lakes and Economics. Yeah.
No, you're going to. Where are you going?
So I've committed to the London School of Economics and.
Are you a draftee? I've committed to. You're going D1 football.
Yeah. Well, it's taken a long time because with the pandemic and everything else, there's just been so much uncertainty about what the next steps are going to look like.
Totally.
I also was just deciding between schools for so long. So now that I am leaving, I'm really shifting my whole life. So cool. I'm committed. But we'll see.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If somebody is going to grad school, especially that's top tier, that's you're playing for the best team on earth. Talk to someone about that. What was that process like? I know you were super involved at Fresno State. You have a ton of experience. You're very smart. Talk to people about how that process is, how people can position themselves in a way that they can become just grad schools want them kind of happen to you.
Yeah. First and foremost, I think I was extremely lucky to have ended up at Fresno State. I am not from the Central Valley originally. I'm from Arroyo Grande, California.
Okay. Beach living.
Can I
trade? I'm going to live there.
It's a really beautiful place. And I had great parents who really prioritized education because they're both teachers. So it was always just put in my head you're going to go to college and you're going to do the best you can do. And I feel like that's a really lucky place to be in, is just to have that kind of support. And I was lucky enough to get into the Smit Camp Family Honors College here at Fresno State. And from there, I feel my entire mentality towards my future and what I could possibly do completely shifted.
Yeah.
The school and, that program and the people I met there just believed in me way more than I ever believed in myself. But it was really motivating. And so from there, I met people who were kind of like, oh, you should, you should do student government. And that would be Blake. And
you followed Blake.
Yeah, exactly. And
you had to clean up that mess.
Huge mess. A lot of craziness.
it was just like really cool opportunities rose. And I think, you know, if I had advice to anyone, it's if there's an opportunity and you're like slightly interested in it, would just be to take advantage. And if you're in, like, it's about, someone told me it's like, you know, reaching for those opportunities, flying into those opportunities, but also how you land. And so, you know, make sure you're doing a good job when you're actually in the spot. You know, everyone's going to make mistakes, and that's just life. But, you know, picking up, learning something new every single day and trying to work on yourself to be, you know, the best person who could possibly be in that position at that time. And so when it came to grad school, you know, I felt really lucky because I just kind of chose to do things that I was really passionate about. I ended up going to like Tanzania to visit a friend who is in the Peace Corps.
Right.
And that was just a really, you know, eye-opening experience. I wasn't there long enough to really say, you know, I understood everything, but it was really, really eye-opening. And then from there, I got to go to London where I, you know, took classes. It was a whole different experience. And I got to work in like British Parliament. And that's kind of where I started like falling in love with like policy and just kind of the capabilities of what can happen when you're being strategic and really keeping an open mind. From there I decided to expand myself and put myself to best use. And so during my like last semester, I went to Cape Town, South Africa, where I was interning at like a small education nonprofit. And through that experience and everything else, it kind of just led me to, one, have an actually pretty nice resume, which I wasn't really thinking about at the time, but two, find things that I really, really enjoyed. And when I was writing my applications, I felt like I was just, you know, talking to a friend, really being honest.
Totally.
That would be like my number one advice, is just like keep pursuing things you're passionate about.
That was something
and give 100%.
We had, was it Nate or someone, we were talking about having a story. Like when you're applying somewhere to like a job or something, I feel like a lot of people don't, like, you know, they're so focused, especially for college kids, on, you know, getting that 4.0 GPA, which is fine, which is totally fine, Danny. But if you don't have a story,
no.
like you have to, like, I mean, I was nowhere close to 4.0. Let me tell you.
Mine started off strong and then rapidly declined.
Yeah, totally.
Straight. And I landed, but went into senior year way low. So
low. Yeah. You were coming in hot.
I was coming in hot, but I landed successfully. It was perfect. Okay. So.
But you got to have a story. You got to have, like, you applied and they were like, who the heck's Demi? And you were like, well, you have all these experiences that show like who you are. And when someone talks to you, you can provide them with, this is what I did, this is how it impacted me, and this is what I want to do. And you're like, whoa, that's like next level stuff, right?
Totally, totally. And yeah, I feel like really fortunate to be able to like honestly have this time, like during the COVID pandemic, as tragic as everything has been, to also have like this time to reflect on like all of those opportunities and that goal and what that story looks like.
And I feel like too, like you're somebody who's had a lot. I mean, you just named probably about maybe half, maybe a quarter of all the different, I mean, just because I know you so well, of all the different experiences that you've had. You've had a lot of experiences for like, you know, somebody who's still starting out their career. So maybe, you know, looking at something like that, you know, I think a lot of people our age, it's a very common thing to want to jump into so many different things, to get involved in so many different things. You know, what would you, you know, looking back at that and kind of those decisions to get involved with this organization or, you know, work for, you know, I know you worked for Central Valley Community Foundation for a little bit, you know, do you think those are good things to do? Do you think people should take every opportunity whenever it comes to them? Or do you kind of think do you wish you scaled back a little bit? Do you think you did it okay? What are kind of your thoughts? Cause I know a lot of people are always thinking about, you know, if they're doing enough or are they not, they're doing too much. It's always a constant thought on people's minds.
Yeah. I mean, so when I first came to Fresno State and, you know, we're all trying to figure ourselves out in that time, I didn't know anyone on campus. And so I just thought, you know, I'm going to join every single club possible at this club fair. Like
all 300.
I did put my name on some lists, you know, the meetings I didn't even attend. Like there was like a business meeting, which probably would have been interesting now, but like really just random clubs. Anyone who would talk to me, I was like, okay, yeah, sign me up. I'll be your friend.
Totally.
And so at that time, you know, it was huge to me because it did introduce me to so many different people, which later I feel like, which just like career wise has been really beneficial. And I didn't even know it at the time, but also just like going in with that attitude, like forward, I was able to narrow down the things that were like most important to me. And yeah, there's like, when it comes to just like a random opportunity, I definitely think I'm at a point now where I have to like reflect and decide if it's, you know, something that I'm interested in. But if you're just starting off, like go for it. Like, you know, you're going to learn so much for it. Even, and like, maybe you can attest to this, but like during, like the year when I was like ASI president, you know, that was like very consuming and I wasn't used to just having like something like that full, like that, taking up that much of my life. But I learned from that, and that I learned that I don't necessarily want something that's like all that consuming. And so when it comes to opportunities, especially now, like might as well take advantage of it and learn from it. And it might be the best thing ever. Like there's so many great things I learned from that experience as well.
Just try a bunch of stuff.
Put your like head in there, and you're definitely going to learn from it either way, and probably learn and meet a bunch of people on the way. So
why the London school? What are those schools we're looking at? What was that thought process? Why? Like, obviously it's a great school. We all know that, but like, what's that thought process? It wasn't just one school. I'm sure you had some US schools that were doing some of the same thought process.
Yeah. So actually I only ended up applying to UK schools. I know. Cause I was planning on going to law school, and I talked to some people, and it just seemed like, I just realized that my passion was kind of in education policy. And then I was really lucky to receive some mentorship, from a person who had gone abroad. His name's Gavin Baird, and he actually went to the London School of Economics, and he was a Fresno State student. And so I realized that I didn't have to take the GRE. So just tips out there.
It's clutch. Yeah. Hey, if you're thinking about grad school, they're waiving the GRE right now at a lot of places.
The GMAT.
In the GMAT.
There's no way to waive the LSAT, though.
Yeah. Well, no, they are administering the LSAT digitally as well. There's an option to take it digitally.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah.
There's no way you can cheat in that test, though. It's so hard.
It's way too hard. It's impossible. Yeah. It's impossible.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
You get a 180, you're like smarter than everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, we know some people who have, you know, they've done phenomenally on it. They've gone to law school, gotten full rides and stuff. I mean, so props to that. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But
I applied because I just could at the time. And I was like, oh, wow, if this, you know, this works out. I applied to some, like, you know, far out schools. And I was lucky enough to receive some, like, an offer from the London School of Economics and the University of Cambridge, which were like my top two. And the University of Cambridge is for like education, international globalization, no, just globalization and international development. And then the London School of Economics for international social and public policy. And the decision just basically came down to like my interest in the program and where I thought I could like grow the most. That was kind of like the decision making process.
Nice.
I made it sound really easy. It was kind of daunting,
Cambridge and London School. You're like, I had one choice. You're going to Fresno State, bro.
Yeah.
That's all you get. Well, that's great. So like public policy, I am like, Blake knows a lot about it. I know nothing about it. So what do you want? I mean, I know what a public policy is, but what are you got? Like, what's your track want to be? Do you know yet? Do you have any ideas? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is super scary, and like, don't tell this to the London School of Economics, but I'm still figuring it out.
they're tuning in. I'm gonna be looking at our analytics, our listener analytics.
London
skyrocket from London. Yep. I'm like, oh, that's weird.
The administration, six people on the board.
Yeah,
we have six listeners in London. Just saying.
Right. So I guess like the major thing that like attracted me to policy in the first place was this group called California Forward, and they're like this think tank that's in that kind of works with the state government. Not kind of, they do. They work with the state government, and they are like a bipartisan group that just has like some really interesting policy solutions and backs like a lot of you know, different bills that they think are like pragmatic and helpful and backed up by research. And so talking with them and realizing just kind of the possibilities and what could happen with policy got me interested in it. And then also working with like several different like non-governmental organizations, I realized that, wow, like policy is a place where, you know, if you have ideas and you are thinking critically and, you know, it's a lot of pressure, but like you're like willing to commit yourself to it, like you can make like a huge bit of difference. And so that's what attracted me initially. And so what I hope over like the next year while I'm there is that I'm going to like learn a ton. I expect to be learning a lot more after, you know, I'm graduating, I'm going into the rest of my life. Yeah. But I would really like to be in a position where I'm like working for a think tank that's supporting, like a government of some sort somewhere in the world, or, you know, possibly working for an intergovernmental organization.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. I mean, I think too, like, the concept of think, this is just kind of like a side note, the concept of a think tank is to me so interesting. I mean, I don't even know if most people, actually, I don't even know if I fully know, like a think tank, it seems like just such a broad, all encompassing entity yeah. that has a lot of different topics.
I literally just picture a bunch of people sitting in a room.
It's not a drink tank. It's a think tank. So it's not a bunch of people drinking in your room, but you know, it's, yeah, that's really, I mean, really fascinating to me. So, yeah.
It's so interesting to me too. And I just think like, wow, what a great idea, especially if you can fill it with like diversity and a lot of different people from a lot of different areas and tackle big issues. You know, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of mistakes, but I think it's a really good way to look at problems.
Yeah, definitely. What are you reading anything right now? You do anything like, are you working on yourself?
Connor's very big on what are you reading?
No, I'm huge. So, I read all the time.
I listen to the other podcasts.
Get on it. What are you doing?
And I was like, I need to get some of these books. Am I reading? I'm reading probably like 20 books. Have I finished any of them?
It's okay.
There's bookmarks in page 5 of each
one
of those.
Yeah, she's one of those. No. Yeah. The statistics that say like 90% of books don't get past the first chapter, that's Demi.
Oh, you know what? I am.
I may or may not be in that one.
I'm reading a book right now that my friend wrote, and it's not published yet. But this is just a little
insider shout out to our 2 million listeners here.
Yeah, and so I mean that's been really interesting because I'm fully dedicated to the novel because I want to like help her.
Fiction novel.
It takes place in London. It's actually a friend that I met while I was like interning there and studying there. And she just finished up her first book. So I think that's like, and it's really interesting for me because I'm not a fiction person at all.
Neither am I.
I have a really difficult time of like being like, oh, like, this isn't practical. Like, what am I doing?
Well, I haven't like, exactly. You know what? I don't have this world figured out. I'm not going to understand the Hunger Games world. Like, what's going on there?
I know. And so I don't know about you, but like, it's been nice for me during, especially like this time where I'm having to like rethink my whole life forcefully because there's nothing else to think about. Not really, but like there's just so much to think about, and that happens to be one of them. And I have found it really nice to kind of like feel like, okay, I'm going to step out of this like, you know, this like critical world where, you know, I'm looking at policy stuff all day. Like that's what I'm normally reading is like, oh, things that are going to like benefit my knowledge so that if I get into a position where I have to make decisions, it's going to benefit that. But kind of like stepping out of that world into like this fictional novel about like apprentices to a magic world has been kind of helpful and nice and like giving me appreciation for maybe like little things. And I don't know about you, but
it's really hard to pull back. So like when I'm not doing something, like this whole coronavirus has been an absolute disaster for me. It isn't terrible. I've been like, I'm just the kind of guy where like, I want to be doing something. Like, I can't read the Harvard Business Review more times. I can't keep reading these things. Like, my brain is like, can you quit? Like, let's do something different. Meanwhile, I can't work, which is what I love to do. And so you kind of get mildly depressed because you're like, well, I'm not making any progress. That's kind of me in fiction. Like, what's the point of me reading a fiction book? But then people are like, well, it's kind of like, do you watch movies? And you're like, oh, now I get it. Because some people read fiction as like their type of movies to like escape and just laugh or have emotion. My imagination is not work like the way the authors want it to work. So I just read normal. I read business
like,
books.
Why is he flying on a broomstick? And that doesn't make any sense.
What does that do?
Why wouldn't he just take an airplane? Yeah, it's like that's. I feel like that's Connor's mind. He's like that doesn't make sense. Harry Potter's dumb.
I actually don't like Harry Potter.
Really?
Whoa. Oh, man. Did you just release that on air?
I did on air.
We might have to edit that out. No, just kidding.
They can come after me.
I was one of those where my mom, I love you, Mom. I know you're going to
wouldn't let you, wouldn't let you watch it.
Wouldn't let me watch it until I read the books. I had to read them.
My dad was, sorry, Dad.
Then I can, I had to learn
I had to learn the magic first.
Oh, you learned the magic. Man, you must have been.
That's how she got into London school. She has magic on it.
So you're actually going to Hogwarts is what you're telling us.
Honestly,
this is all a cover-up.
Yeah, got it.
So, yeah, perfect. So learn the magic, watch the movies.
Yeah, it's, man.
So advice to young women, 18 years old. I know you're like, I know you're not like an old woman.
Debbie's like, oh, shit.
But like, well, how old are you, 23, 22?
I will be 22 in 22. 1 week.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Demi starts college right now, pretend. And it's not coronavirus. Like, you actually get to go to the campus.
All right.
What's the advice that you're going to go back and you're going to give yourself?
And can I add something too? You know, not to put too much pressure on you, but do you have any advice for maybe women who want to be in decision-making roles or who want to be involved in leadership roles? You've been in a couple of leadership roles. You are aspiring to be in, you know, policy decision-making role. Do you have any insight on that?
Okay.
So far on your journey, not expecting you to know it all.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. To answer the first question, would there be any advice I would give myself? Yeah. And I could probably be on the podcast for like 2 hours.
Perfect. We don't have a time limit. I don't know.
Yeah, I think,
my stomach's growling, but it's okay.
I think the major thing would just be to tell myself it's okay that you're not going to have it all figured out. And probably the same advice that I would give myself yesterday and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And to just keep trying, like, every day to learn something new and try to be a better version of you.
Totally.
So that would probably be one. And then as far as, like, people who want to be in a position to, I don't know, like, influence or make those kind of hard decisions, I guess the first thing I would say is if you're not one of those people, give it a try. Because I wasn't really either, and I still don't know if I am, but I found like a sector that I think I, you know, I could do a decent job at. And that is like the most empowering thing that like I've like ever felt towards, you know, any future direction.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then the other thing I would say is to keep an open mind. I feel like compassion and being critical towards other people and other situations and yourself. Like those are that like compassion and like being critical is like the combination that is just such, I don't know. I'm sure there's more to it, but that's a pretty like winning combination.
Compassionate criticism. That's a book. There's your book.
Is it really? That is the book.
No,
I'm
it's
writing,
a book.
Actually.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No,
it's not a book. That's your book now.
I was like, I'd actually read that one.
No, that's really good.
That's a pretty cool idea.
People, you know, when you give someone criticism, you're typically harsh. And when you give compassion, you're typically soft on the person.
Yeah.
And the person doesn't get what they want. Well, not what they want, but sometimes what they need. And right. So if you're like critical with them, but you are understanding and empathetic with what's going on with their life, that'd be huge.
Yeah. And it's helpful too, like as like a personal thing. Like I think, you know, you don't want to be like overly critical on yourself, but I think it's really good to reflect and make sure and be critical of like how you interpret situations and how you like, you know, what your pre-existing beliefs are and being compassionate to yourself and being like, okay, that's, you know, that's how it is. Doesn't always have to be that way.
Yeah.
And looking at situations like that too.
Yeah.
I think that could be
absolutely
really nice.
Yeah. I think it's a really good point.
Where are you at in 40 years?
40 years?
No. I don't know. I've got my doubt.
Yeah. You
don't know where you want to be in 40 years? I know exactly where you want to be in 40
years.
Yeah,
where
are
you?
That's a long time.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Let's hear your guys' first, and then I'll
Perfect. Yeah. I would really, you know, for me to work my way through business, I've tried entrepreneurship in the past, and I don't necessarily think it's for me. I do think that I'm really good in an environment that's been created and to take that environment and make it better. And so for me, that's to work my way through business. I mean, I would love to become the CEO of a company someday. I don't know how big, but it'd be really cool to kind of be at the helm of something to drive change, grow revenue.
Dream company. What would you be?
Oh, the CEO of Stryker, my current company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If any Stryker employees are, they're laughing right now. They're like, oh yeah, good luck, bro. It's a 45,000 person company. It's Fortune 350. It's like, to become the CEO. Our CEO right now is legit. He's the real deal. So,
wow. You know what?
I would pick
just be ready to learn every single day and have an open mind. No, I was
kidding. There you go. Yeah, you can get there. You go. Follow. I would pick, if I was to be, I don't want to be a CEO in, you know, 40 years, but if I was to pick a company that I wanted to be CEO of, I would pick Taco Bell.
Of course you would. It's like your health.
Well, you're already the mascot.
First off, I don't think Taco Bell, I think Taco Bell is owned by another company.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
So I mean, then you can own the whole food pie.
I just want to be
a bunch. You get fried. You can get chopped. You can get whatever.
I just want to be that guy. I roll into the drive-thru. I went there today. Rolled into the drive-thru.
You want to talk about it today?
Yeah.
I'm calling your doctor. Dude.
I went to the bank. Went to Taco Bell. Sorry. Dr. Dylan, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. He told me to stop.
Yeah.
I didn't. So anyways, and I want to be able to be the guy that's, you know, nice, you know, hey, how's it going? Like I always am.
The undercover boss.
That did sound nice.
But, you know, they're like, you know, oh, and your total will be, and I'm like, oh, no, I own the place. Sorry.
Oh, you want to be that guy. You're not going to pay the bill?
You're not going to put your picture on the side?
It. Yeah.
What? No, so I mean, it'll come out of my pocket ultimately.
You know, he'll be like a little sombrero with his face in it. And like a taco shell coming out.
No. I will pay the bill. I won't have a running tab at Taco Bell, though. Have a running tab.
So what would you change about Taco Bell? You're the CEO.
You know, I would definitely make sure that all locations were cantina style Taco cantina Bell. Style.
And 24 hours.
24 hours, yeah. There you go.
The one by Fresno State saved all of our lives.
More jobs.
It's true.
Provide jobs. More jobs. 24 hours.
You wouldn't put robots in there?
No.
No,
it's all about the experience.
At this point, quit buying Taco Bell and start buying their stock because you spent like 10 grand there already.
I've probably invested. I haven't invested.
No, already,
but I've spent a lot of money at Taco Bell, thousands of dollars.
So Denny, in 40 years, where are you?
It's
going to change. I'm going to change, but like, do you have like, where's your long term plan? Like, where are you headed? What do you want to do?
That is such an interesting question because I have absolutely zero idea.
Perfect.
Oh, actually, okay.
That's good.
Maybe not.
You just found out right now.
Maybe. Just
wow, look at that. You're a real copy. RPRC.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I think I have like things I like to do, but not necessarily like at any time. Like I'd really like to live for an extended period of time, like in a foreign country.
That's awesome.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. That's pretty much the extent of what my future looks like.
Perfect.
So, yeah. Sorry. It's not super thought out.
Great. So, then that's okay. Kind of a native land or a non-native land.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to figure out because I feel like I have so much to learn still that I'm like almost positive that what I want to do
will change.
In 3 months will be different.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, I know like our friend, Brandon Sepulveda, he was in Tanzania doing Peace Corps stuff, but I know that he wanted to stay there for an extended period of time. And so I would love to have him on at some point if he wants to, if you're listening, Brandon.
He's listening.
Yeah, he is hopefully, but he's probably like, oh, but anyway, so, you know, I think that is a really interesting thing because you become acclimated to a culture that's way outside of what you know.
Yep.
Way outside of your comfort zone. So that's really cool. It's a cool goal.
Well, Demi, anything else you want to say to the people, to the 2 million listeners?
To all 2 million.
That's a lot.
That's
you can really
lot.
Give
I know,
traction.
I know. You know, I think this, you know, I'm not sure when this episode is going to be released, but
probably Saturday, 2 days from now.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe well, you're the one that publishes it. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Last time was 2 days.
Whenever Blake feels like it.
Dude, it's hard, man. It's hard when you're doing all the publishing work.
Oh, boy.
I was just going to say, like, you know, I don't think it wouldn't matter when it was released regardless, but I feel like this is a good time and it's always a really good time to kind of put more energy into, you know, what you know and take a hard look at who you are and your beliefs and try to, you know, educate yourself as much as possible and whatever that might be, just something like new every day or, you know, don't overwhelm yourself, but, you know, have an open mind and be critical. And I think that would be like my one message to myself when I listen to this, because, you know, I'm like a third of the viewers, right?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Best time of that.
No, I'm kidding.
That's really good, though.
No,
really good.
No. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Right now.
Keep an open mind and keep learning and growing.
Yeah.
Especially during this time, it's pretty big.
Definitely. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Demi. We really appreciate it. And thanks for everyone tuning in. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Cool. Real people, real class.
It's super easy, right?
Dude, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.